always intrigued when, especially brothers in Christ, find a slick way or a helpful hint of learning, memorizing something. I'm so-so, maybe get myself a C-minus, B plus on memorization. I can do it, but it's rather tough for me. So anytime there's a hook or a way or a scaffold you can think of, I think that's a positive thing. Instead of memorizing everything, sometimes a little mnemonic device, a memory trigger, can help you to remember things. There is a three-cycle approach. I want to give Bob Waldron a shout-out here. Don't know him personally, but I've heard of this approach. It isn't his patented approach that I know of, but the book is his copyright. And he starts basically with giving 17 different periods. You start with before the flood, for example. Well, we could say creation, but before the flood kind of alerts you to the fact that there's going to be a flood, and then after the flood, you see. So in itself, it has incorporated sort of memory triggers. In studying this, and then in talking mostly with William, a little bit with Martine and Caitlin, there was a section about the Exodus period, that I was having trouble with, so I made my own outline. So through, I don't know, a week and a half, 2 weeks of study, that's the lead-in to this. I highly recommend this as a way of learning larger chunks of information, almost like a story. He says, Mr. Waldron says, it's like building a fence and then being able to hang ideas on that fence. So it begins with before the flood, and then you might think, well, after the flood, we have to go through battle, so there is a confusion of languages, division of people and languages, the patriarchal age, and on it goes. Those are the first four. Exodus is a huge book, so I'm going to try to do three things. I'm going to show you a little bit of a memory trigger here tonight, an outline, and I'm going to tell you I go from B to I. B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I. In Exodus. So that will help you. There are about eight then divisions that I'll give you. Second, I want you to come away learning a bit about Exodus and not to be afraid of it, because there is so much that happens in the books of Genesis, paradise, the first fall of man, the first sin, paradise lost, expulsion from sin, injury, man, through one man, the first man, Adam, who was earthy. And then also, I want to talk, and this is a little shout out to you, sister, back to some of the key figures. I'm going to go ahead and tip my hand and say, okay, it's not only Moses, his assistant or his spokesman, Aaron, and Pharaoh. We also need to talk about God, the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, that rock was Christ, and third, the Holy Spirit. A couple of songs ago that me led, they talked about a pillar, a cloud, a pillar, pillar, and cloud. So that's kind of a lead into that. I urge you to jot things down. I'm so happy that so many of you did that this morning. It helps you to remember. So right now we want to look at the Exodus. And I want you not only to think about a physical exodus leaving Egypt. I've said this many times before. I want you to think about leaving a sinful life that is hellbound. And I want you to think about heading through the water, the Red Sea. And then we have to travel through this life, wilderness. We are strangers in a strange land here. And then finally, we ought to be heaven-bound, not only because we want to avoid the fiery hell that awaits those who refuse to obey We want to, out of love, obey the Lord. So it's a two-pronged responsibility that we have. From bondage to deliverance is the subtitle I chose. Here are your alphabet reminders. B, bondage and building, the first two chapters of Genesis. C, call and commission. Moses is going to be called and commissioned with a divine commission in 3 and 4. Demands and deliverance. Demands are made on Moses. He makes excuses, hedges. God overcomes those. Gets a bit fed up with it, you might say. And fills the need. There are also demands that God, through Moses and Aaron, make on Pharaoh. So God is also demanding. Pharaoh demands more work and harsher punishment of those slaves. So we have three sets of demands, you might say, of that deliverance. There are examples in execution. Now, execution has two different meanings. The executive branch is that branch in American government that executes or carries out the law. Carries out the laws. Okay? So a governor at the state level would be the executive branch. The president would be the executive branch. We know there are crossovers, won't get into that. It's not the time or the place. But execution, the other term, the other meaning of the term is to kill. And if you think about it, they are related in that the executioner is the one that exacted and carried out the punishment that the law required. We need not fear the executioner of this world, but rather we need to fear that one who can destroy both body and soul in hell. We need to fear God, honor the King. Finally, there's the last few, F, feast and flight. The feast of the Passover. This book gives almost no section or subsection to that, so I wanted to put that back in. We remember that Jesus Christ instituted that Passover, having longed to eat that with his disciples, and instituting it, telling them, this is my body and this is my blood. So we are kind of taken back in our mind's eye to the fact that fleeing bondage in Egypt and then fleeing bondage of sin are what that Passover feast was about. They had to have that unblemished lamb. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. God, I let God alone. Instead of two words with the G, God, if you want to say God of giving, giving the law, he institutes God, the Godhead, high priest and holiness at the end of Exodus. And then finally, there are final instructions on the building and erection of the tabernacle. And there is insight on what God and the big scheme of things, the big plan. Think of this. Bondage, demands of God, those who obeyed left bondage, passed through the water. God was there, the pillar of cloud. They were said to be baptized into Moses. They are headed for the wilderness because they wouldn't go in. They disobeyed, so they were punished. This world is where we need to work out our own salvation as we are commanded to do. And then finally, there is a holy land. For us, it is that spiritual place, the final resting place of our souls. To get there, they had to go through bondage of sin. That's what got them there, by the way. Idolatry and sinfulness. But they fell into decadence, pass through the water, and go toward the promised land, much as we are commanded to do. Arise and be baptized. wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Be thou faithful unto them. So I put these in the list. Three people that I've already said, Moses, Aaron, and Pharaoh. Now, we might not have thought of God the Father, God the Son of Christ, the Son, who was called the Rock, and that Rock was Christ. And finally, the pillar of cloud, the Spirit. We also know that in the Holy of Holies, the presence of the Lord. Okay, that's getting ahead. So I'm not going to go through every little subsection. But in chapters 1 and 2, this is greatly an overview of the book. Think of the word be, bondage. You understand that. Now I've added the word building. What's being built? Moses, for 14 years of his life, from birth to 40, he is being built up as a messenger, as a deliverer in service to God. Do you know that that is called, I don't quite understand these terms, type and anti-type, but that is called a type of Christ. Not that Moses was a sort of Christ, but type, as in like a typewriter, or you've got type, an anti-type that is the image that comes off of that. Moses is that one who is going to be a deliverer, helping us to think ahead of a spiritual deliverer, being Christ Jesus. Obviously, impression, Moses early life. By faith, we'll read later, by faith, he was hid. Not concerned or not fearing the edicts, his parents hid him. He was raised as in the king's court, Pharaoh's court, more like an emperor. Okay? Pharaoh with all power in ancient Egypt. So, and in Acts 7:3, it refers back, it said to him, leave your country and your relatives and come into the land that I will show you. So there are crossovers between Old and New Testament. Call and commission. The burning bush, as you remember, God speaks to Moses. And don't you love the fact that it is I am, not I was, not I shall be, but I am. That points to eternity in both directions. And commission, he is given what he must do, God's divine commission, he is going to send out Moses. I cannot help or could not help but think of the Great Commission. Jesus is then, see, I'm purposely relating. If you could take something you know about, New Testament, Jesus, the Great Commission, Matthew 28, Mark 16, you can hook that then to something you don't know or you're just learning. It's a learning trick. So back to this. It reminds me of the Great Commission where Jesus, Godhead, is speaking to the followers, instead of Moses speaking to the disciples, telling them to go and be likewise going to make disciples. Okay? You know, where? Lord, all the world. And lo, I am with you always. He's going to send the Comforter to help and guide them into all truth, the Holy Spirit. Oh, by the way, big factor. Moses makes excuses, God doesn't accept them. God's patient for a little while, and gets to maybe strike three, and we get the impression right quick, you're going to do as I say, not the other way around. I can't, I'm slow in speech, I can't do this. And so why not somebody else? Why be the Lord? Well, he was the one chosen for that commission. God knew, Moses didn't know, God knew what he was doing. 40 years while he was being built up, so some highlights so far. Called Moses, the divine commission, his excuses. The letter B, the third letter, B, C, D, commands and deliverances. Deliverance. There are demands. The key is that there are demands that God is making. He is speaking through, remember in our Wednesday night Bible study, in our Sunday morning too, that Brother Hartwright points out Christ speaking through Noah. So Moses is going to be, in this time, a spokesman. But it's not going to be on his eloquent speech. He himself needs a spokesman. But it is Moses, the one chosen, to lead his people, Israel. And so we get to deliverance. Of course, God is going to deliver them. God delivers us in this age through Jesus Christ and obedience in him. Aaron and Moses make demands from God to Pharaoh to liberate, free Israel. Pharaoh increases the severity on the people. A letter E. Examples are given, the plagues. Examples of God Almighty, his power, his wrath, his anger. God had his anger kindled against Israel for betraying with foreign gods, strange women, foreign women who brought with them idolatrous living, those sorts of decadence, and they fall into bondage. It's like a roller coaster. If you've ever seen it on a timeline, the heights of the good kings or the good judges, and then the bad ones and the bad kings. And how mighty Saul was as a warrior. The first king, physical king of Israel. And he ruined it because he refused to obey and utterly destroyed the Amalekites. What to say back to his son from himself? Not good. Moses is going to not be taken away, but he's going to be held back from that promised land. He gets them to break Joshua's going to have to take him in. He's allowed to look over and see. Maybe in our mind's eye, we can see that all men have sinned, all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. Maybe we can see that in this world, right now, through that eye of faith, we can look over and see that that promised land is that's waiting. We cannot step into it right now, physically, but one day spiritually. Okay? God's power and wrath and carrying out, and it's also the execution of the firstborn in that last plague. There's a feast. I know I'm repeating. It's also a technique. Some drug. Try to make it fun. Try to go through it a little bit at a time and add into it. Feast of the Passover, the Exodus of the flight, feast of flight to Sinai. So we've got chapters 12 through 18. Feast of the Passover, pointing toward the Lamb of God. Longest excerpt that I've got here, right smack dab in the middle of the call. For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. That's what it's speaking of. And all were baptized into Moses. If they weren't baptized into Moses in the Red Sea, could they get to Canaan's land along our way? Could they get through the wilderness? The wilderness comes out of the Red Sea. Can they get out of Egypt? Say, no, I refuse to get in the water. To begin our journey out of bondage, to be the culminating piece of the old self, we need to put the old self to death in that watery grave. They were surrounded, and God was there. God led. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and that rock was Christ. The rock was Christ. Speaking of Jesus. He's the Word become flesh and dwell among us. If Christ was the rock and they were made to drink a spiritual drink, not a rod or a staff that was going to strike the rock, but God instructed Moses at that time to speak to the rock. He did it his way. That's a small attraction. Christ was not going to be stricken and crushed. He was going to be afflicted, tried. Satan certainly did that. The curse from the Garden of Eden. Remember? Christ Jesus is going to step on the head of Satan and overcome it. I look back at you, brother. A sign from many months ago, Jesus, when God wins. He said, God wins. What's Revelation all about? God wins. Overcome. Stay the course. Christians in that day and age, in all the trials and tribulations they face, stay the course. God will cause you to win the race. Okay. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. Most reminds you of the many and the few, the broad and the narrow gates. The way to heaven is narrow. One man wide, I like to say. Now these things happen as examples, the King James reads in examples, for us so that we would not crave these evil things as they also crave. Look at the history. These are history books that are written. Look at the history. They craved evil things and they fell in the desert. Such was the demise of the majority, the most, not the few. God keeps pulling back a remnant. Do not be idolaters, as such of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink, talking about that also in our Bible study, aren't we? And stood up to play. Righteous living, hedonistic living, nor let us act immorally, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in one day. I've forgotten what the KIA, the Killed in Action count was in Manassas, the first battle of Bull Run. Some of the war between the states, we often call that the Civil War, some of those battles are just horrendous. The death toll of holy days. Some of the battles, biblical battles, physical sword fighting, chariot, bows and arrows battles are so bloody, tens of thousands. 23,000 in one day. Why? Sat down to eat and drink, stood up to play, they acted immorally, they were idolaters, and they fell. Be not deceived, sisters and brothers. Nor let us try the Lord, as some of them did and were destroyed by the serpents, nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, as they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. This is the final call. Whether it ends in 2023, tomorrow, tonight, in the twinkling of an eye, when it happens, there will not be a do-over. There's not a reset button in hell. I'm not trying to shout, scare you, except to say you do not want to be there. Can I have a do-over? It won't work. God won't take your excuses if he didn't take Moses' excuses, and Moses was that chosen deliverer of God's people, Israel. He won't excuse me because I'm slow of speech or because I stuttered or stumbled over a word here and there and said, well, I couldn't, I can't, I didn't, I won't. Find a way. Find a way. God did not give us a spirit of weakness. We are to be in weakness, but not weakness. Hear ye him. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. Take heed lest he fall. Comfort. Comfort all my people. This is comforting. We do not have to be the firstborn from the dead. That's Jesus Christ. We do not have to try to conquer death underfoot. Christ did that. We don't need to be the first running point in the jungle, like Vietnam or in war. We're not out of point. Christ Jesus did that. Was it deadly? Yes. And he rose again. Comfort. This is comforting. He is able to intercede because he knows, sister, he knows, brother, what you've been through and what you're currently going through. No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Speak as to wise men. You judge what I say. Jesus Christ was tempted in all manner like unto man, yet was without sin. He went out ahead of us. He ran point. He was crucified for it. But they couldn't keep a good man down. You ever heard that expression? Can't keep a good man or a good woman down. They couldn't keep him down forever. Part of 2 days and a full day in the middle. On the third day, he rose again. There's hope left for us. Is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? Let's not wonder too long about what he's speaking of. Hope. Since there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. And then in Hebrews, by faith Moses, Abraham and Moses get so much press, I know that's an expression, they get so much of a glowing write-up in Hebrews. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I'm holding him up for you, so you can count with me. Choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Do we not have the same responsibility? Are we not called to quit with the quit-ye-like man, get out of there, leave the passing pleasures of sin, and go to whatever place that is where we can live now faithfully unto death? Considering the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, he saw it all. Egypt is at its zenith, for he was looking to the reward. There is a comforting phrase and a thought for us all. If you keep your eyes on the reward, sometimes the base of the stones or the thorns in your side or your feet are a little bit easier to walk through the road. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is unseen. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. G, the letter G, God, Yahweh. I don't know if you realize it. Tetragrammation, I had not heard that until maybe a few years ago again. My understanding is that the Hebrew language did not have vowels. And so there are letters, and the letters would be Y, H, if we were to write them with Roman letters that we use. W-H. Yahweh. Yahweh. Yehovah. Jehovah. Sadly, we have a denominational religious group of false teachers who make us a little bit, not skeptical, but maybe sometimes we think twice about using. There's nothing wrong with the word Yahweh as the name of God or Jehovah. We just don't call it a denomination. We are Christians. Do we honor Jehovah, God, Yahweh? Yes. God is. God giving the Ten Commandments in chapter 20. So, we're leading up to, I guess I put the wrong numbers there, 19 and 20 of those chapters. The H is for high praise, holiness, and then I kind of brought that in with the next, and instructions. Other laws are given. Brother Hubert Showalter pointed out that we sometimes think of the Ten Commandments and think that it stopped there. The old law was just 10. There were many. It was added unto me. You realize that? What to do in this situation? What if this is a crime, but it does not lead to death? What if this is a crime, and it does lead to death? What if this is an accident? Involuntary manslaughter. Refuge cities for those who did not mean to, but killed somebody. How did that happen? What to do with? What to deal with? Bestiality. Rape. Other forms of sexual immorality. They took a pretty serious view toward sin, because God does. Not wanting that any should perish, but that all of us, that all should come unto forgiveness. There's a high priest appointed, chapter 28. Holiness is defined, the golden calf. This just astonishes me. They've seen the hands of Moses, they see what wonders God hath wrought with the parting of the Red Sea. They walk on dry ground, as on dry ground. They find that in hot pursuit are the charioteers and archers and the warriors of Pharaoh. And God swallows them up. In one fell swoop, he opens them for his people, heaven. He closes the water of the gate on those who would do harm. Heaven. Thou shalt not. Okay, preparation and record of that. So I just emphasized what was there before. Can you see that the one called Moses is also a deliverer and a type of Christ? Can you see that Aaron, the spokesman, God speaks through his prophets of old. God's will was spoken through Jesus Christ. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him, and what combined to now the transfiguration, and also by his baptism. Pharaoh, does that not represent to you bondage? And we are under bondage of sin if we obey that master. Both the wrath of God for their disobedience and symbolic, he and Egypt are symbolic of idolatry, the bondage of sin. For covetousness, we are told in the New Testament, is idolatry. Some highlights, and I just went through and kind of repeated. Birth and building, calling and choosing, part of the Great Commission. We are reminded of the Great Commission we are given. If you look down at the bottom, all of this is leading that remnant, which you are if you are in Christ Jesus, leading that remnant toward the promised land. Notice in the middle, I put something here, I added something. We are to go, lead, tell others, strengthen the brethren, lead others out of bondage of sin, to and toward that journey, grab a hand of somebody, neighbor, friend, a relative, a husband, wife, a father, a mother, grab somebody and try to get them to walk with you in the walk that is set before us in Christ Jesus. Baptized into Moses, it's in there. They pass through the Red Sea. Don't believe it? Believe it now. If you can remember one thing, I'd like you to remember this one. Hebrews 11:29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea, as though they were passing through dry land. And the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. People are not going to be drowned in water if they are in hell. They will be engulfed in flame. That will not be a drop of water to come on the top. Severe warnings. 1 Corinthians 10:2. And all were baptized into Moses in a cloud and in the sea. But thanks be unto God through Jesus Christ, the salvation that is waiting for every one of us. If you are not baptized into Christ Jesus, you're not one of his yet. You need to get in the fold and travel that journey set before you. If you are in Christ Jesus and you've fallen, get back up before the waters engulf you. Before the fiery serpents with their sting bite you and take you under. For the rest, for all, be thou faithful unto them. Why delay? Be baptized tonight. Hark the gentle voice of Jesus called through the gospel, through our hymns, through the speaking of our sisters, our brothers, when we exhort you from the Bible, God's word is being uttered. Thanks be to God our Father, to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. His yoke is not heavy, and he ran for you. May God bless us and bring you his word. Won't you come, Father, stand and sing?